In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, God is one. Please be seated. Good morning. Our sermon this morning comes from the epistle reading from 1 John, where some probably the most important words ever expressed by St. John are said in one sentence. The one who does not love God, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. One of the primary reasons I became Orthodox, one of them, was that the Orthodox Church was the only church that, as I studied their theology, expressed God not only as I read about him in the scriptures and understood him, but as I experienced him in my day-to-day life. God is love, the essence of God being love. When I was a Protestant, and many Catholics describe this as their experience, it's not necessarily what the Catholic Church teaches, but their experience has been that God is angry. The official teaching of the Reformed Church that I was a part of for a while taught us that God was angry, and thank God for Christ, because as Billy Graham said, he took the lightning bolt on his head for us. That God was so angry with us that Christ had to come to take all of that punishment and all of that judgment so we wouldn't have to. That God was so disgraced by us because we had sinned and fallen short that he couldn't even look upon us. But because of the propitiation of Christ, then he could look upon us again. And so there was this division, as it were, of the will of the Father and the Son, that God was very angry and Christ was very loving, and that somehow Christ could be a propitiation to placate the anger of God so that we could be justified before God and experience his love again. So it's almost like God had his back to us and then Jesus allowed him to turn his face back to us again. And that's how I was always taught, and that's what contemporary Protestant Christianity teaches. And a lot of it comes from Augustinian theology, and it gets pretty deep, but we won't go there for now. But the point was that then when I came into the Orthodox Church, what they taught was that God not was just loving, that God is love, that the essence of God is love. Like the sun's essence is heat and light and it pours out, so God's essence is love. And in that essence, he sends Christ because he loves us always. And this sense where God is mad at us and God is judging us, you see, in the Orthodox Church, sin isn't understood as an infraction of rules, of breaking rules. That's not how sin is understood at all. In the Orthodox Church, sin is understood as a sickness that is in us. And the reason it's understood as a sickness, and St. Paul describes it this way, is he says that, I don't know what I'm doing. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And he says, he goes on further, and I love this. He says, and if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin living in me. In other words, there's a part of us that causes us, a sickness in us, that causes us to be selfish. And God doesn't see that as this idea of, well, you broke this rule and now here's your punishment. And, you know, go to confession and fulfill your obligations and then we can make you right again. And this idea that God has consistently got his back to us, then in front, and then his back, and then his front. And we're in and out of relationships with him where there's no security and there's always this wondering, am I right with God? Am I getting it right? Or the opposition to that would be a Protestant position where you just say this one prayer and then you're always right with God and it doesn't matter what you do. That's not true either. What the Orthodox Church teaches is that God loves us because he sees the brokenness in us as a sickness in the same way that we would love our children if they were sick. You know, if my son pukes all over me because he's got the flu, I'm not going to backhand him, right? I'm not going to scream at him and say, what is wrong with you? How can you puke in your bed? I'm going to clean him, and I'm going to care for him, and I'm going to hold him, and I'm going to love him. You see, that's the love that the Father has for us. So this is how Orthodoxy begins to express this, and when I began to get that, then I saw what John was saying here in a whole new light, that the one who does not know love does not know God, for God is love. And so this is how we would have our theology be shaped in terms of who God is. Listen to these scriptures for a minute, because they come to life in this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. For this, he who does not know love does not know God, for God is love, our passage this morning. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We love because he first loved us. These are all just one person, St. John saying this in his epistles. And so all these passages point to this understanding of God being in essence love. And that when we love, we're participating in God. And when we love, it's God actuating himself through us, if that makes any sense. And so our passage perfectly articulates Orthodox theology about who God is in his essence. And so I guess the ultimate question is, what does it mean that God is love? And then we'll ask, how does that affect my day-to-day life? What does it mean that God is love? I guess the first thing I would say about that is, you know, what is love in terms of God's love, his perfect love? Not the way we love, but God's love. Well, first of all, it's not an emotion, and it's not a sentiment. It's not a sentimental thing. It's an act of willing, willing the good for another. Love is the act of willing the good for others, willing the good for another person, willing the good for our whole created order. So when we say God is love, what we mean is that in his essence, God towards us in the world intends goodwill. Now, there's an interesting thing about that, though, and it's a little bit challenging. And that is, true love from God is expressed in different ways or in a variety of ways, depending upon the object of his love. In other words, if somebody is in their life and they're on a self-destructive path, right, and they're destroying themselves, then God's goodwill for that person and his love and compassion for that person could appear to be harsh, or it could appear to be angry, or we might describe it as punitive. But it's not punitive. When my children do something wrong, or when they were little and they would completely disobey me and my fear was that they would be hurt, so I might discipline them. But in disciplining them, I'm expressing love for them. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't care. It wouldn't matter what they did. But because I love them, then I discipline. The scripture is ripe with passages that describe this, to understand that God's discipline is his affection and love towards us, because he's always, always putting forth goodwill. Let me try and describe it this way. I was at George's Tire in Warren maybe 6 months ago getting new tires on my car. And after they took the old tires off and got the new tires on the rims, they have to balance those tires, right? And they put it on this machine and they spin the tire and see how off balance it is. And they take these little weights and they tack these little weights on. And as they tack the weights onto the tire, slowly it begins to come into balance, right? In a similar way, God's love, it's not always like our love. God's love, and sometimes God's love is very difficult because he'll allow us to go through hardships. But it's like these little metal weights that he tacks onto us. We feel the weight of it, the weight of his love that's meant to balance us and realign us into a right relationship with himself and into a participation of his divine nature. So I guess maybe we could say it this way too. God's love is like when you're a kid, you remember our kaleidoscopes? And so a beam of pure white, crystal clear light would shine into that kaleidoscope. But what would come out is like this array of colors would come out of it. And this is what God's love is like, his essence, what he is like. He's like this pure love that expresses itself in all these different ways to each individual person in the circumstances of their lives. So he's always goodness, and he's always seeking the goodwill. And so he's not like us in the sense that he passes through these sort of emotional states of shifting, you know, from anger to joy, from anticipation to disappointment, from contentment to discontentment. God isn't like that. He doesn't go through all this. He's not shifting. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say that he doesn't change at all. God is the same forever. And he doesn't fall out of love the way we do. He is love. So this sense of, well, I'm just not in love anymore, or I don't love this person anymore, I've had it with this person. This isn't God. So why does any of this matter? I think, first of all, we have to understand that God is not angry with us. When I was in seminary, I had promised one of my professors that every time I did a wedding or a funeral at the end, I would always remind the people, because they wouldn't always go to church. They maybe would just show up for that funeral. And I would remind them, God is not mad at you, that he loves you, that what he wants from you is simply you, right? And so how might that change our view of God, our life, our church? If we could just take a step back and take a breath for a minute and recognize that God isn't angry, that when he looks upon us, he feels for us, because he sees in us, with us being united to Christ and baptized into Christ, he sees in us this desire to love him and this desire to be close to God and the desire to be at church and the desire to pray and the desire to do all these things. But he sees the weakness in us, almost like watching your child play in a sporting event that he's not really that good at. And you see him trying so hard, but they just stink. And so you feel for them, right? You don't curse them out. You don't say you stink. You feel for them. And God has this sense of love for us. And so when he looks at us, he's not looking at you going, I saw that. Saw that. You thought you hid that from me. You didn't hide anything from me. I saw all of it. You better watch out, right? That's not how he looks. He looks at us and he goes, so sorry for the pain. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. I'm here for you. I'm with you in this. And I can help balance you and align you again to be in a right path with me. So this is how God looks toward us. And lastly, I'll conclude with this. The ultimate goal of the Christian life, the reason that we look at saints and we admire them, is because somehow they were able to align themselves with God in such a way that they, as St. Peter says, participate in the divine nature. They participate in it. Meaning that the saints express goodwill to all, even those who persecute them and hate them and burn them at the stake and torture them. They can express this goodwill. How? Because they're participating in the essence of God, which is love, the fire of his love. This is the goal of all of our lives. St. Peter said that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, that in our lives, we may partake in that love of God in such a way that it overflows into the lives of others. And our relationship with him is strengthened and aligned. And that's what Christ comes to do. So I guess I'll close with that, just reminding each of you that God loves you. God is not mad at you. And his desire for you is to have you and to make you whole. So when we leave today, if we could remember that, so that it helps us to pray a little bit more boldly. It teaches us humility to come to him, like, how could you love me sometimes? I'm so broken. And it gives us this humility, which is exactly what we need, because the faith is made up of repentance and humility. But it also gives us comfort. These are the words of St. John. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out all fear. So be thee bold, you're approaching God. Be humble, be repentant, but remember he loves you.